You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Go Plug Yourself. We've been talking to awesome people in Montreal since 2011. Just a friendly reminder that if you're going to be buying anything on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, go to 9to5.cc first and click the links at the bottom or in the sidebar so that we get a bit of that money. Also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and enjoy the show.
Go plug yourself. You plug and mother plugger. Go plug yourself.
That is standard to go to anchor mode.
Double clicking the record
button. Trust me, I'm a sound engineer.
Instantaneous anchor mode. Walter.
Yeah.
Fucking, who are we with? This is, wait, go plug yourself. What number are we at?
It's we number don't 39.
Okay, this is difficult. Wait.
Oh, the big 3-9.
Today
big
we have your dad on.
Oh, my fucking father. Now do your impression of my father.
Oh, I'm very disappointed. Just very disappointed.
I'm kidding. It's actually Harley Morenstein. Today we have Harley Morenstein on from
Epic Meal Time
and the internet. Thank you for joining us today, Harley.
It's my pleasure.
Say it.
Bacon strips bacon and bacon strips
yeah,
and bacon strips.
It's actually not Harley Morenstein. It's Al of France.
Oh.
Are we doing
American? Oh, La France, either way. France. I constantly alternate when I'm saying it in English.
Depending how pretentious you feel in
English
today, yeah.
So today I'm out La France.
This is the official Fringe preview episode.
Sort of. That might be happening while Fringe is actually kicking off. But we need to figure out the timing because we have an episode
that's
probably going to come out after this one.
It's totally the preview episode, though.
Okay.
I'm saying it.
All right, so we're going to throw this one up before Fringe, then we're going to throw up the other one. There's a confusion. Whatever. You know what? Our guests will figure it out. Who the fuck cares?
This happy buzz is just going to keep going. And if you try to put the brakes on it, you won't be able to. Because the happy buzz doesn't stop for anyone.
Walter is on
the happy buzz has very little room on it.
The happy buzz has very little room on it. It's like fucking, it's a power wheels. it's a small electronic Jeep.
The doors are actually just painted on. They don't even open. All right. So
drive it over
it's
the
just
hills
two
and around the trees.
Living in the happy bus at all times.
Did you know what the alternative to the happy bus is?
No.
The sad bus. And which bus do you want to be on?
Happy bus.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're entering the happy bus era of the podcast.
Happy bus era.
Episode 39 / 38. I don't know.
I refuse to buy into
episode numbering.
Numbering.
This is Walter talking. I'm just going to identify that every time because I feel that Al and I are going to sound vaguely similar.
I think that's
going to
get really annoying after like
I don't give a
10
shit.
Minutes. This is Walter talking, and my question is this.
I'll just continue this trend too. I refuse to buy into any Sanjay Gupta. Sanjay Gupta isn't the right thing. Motivational speakers Tony Robbins.
Tony Robbins.
Tony. You know those guys.
Yep.
Yeah, that's stupid, right?
Right.
But goddamn it, a professional wrestler tells me to live my life in a better way. I'll listen to him.
Yeah, exactly. Cole Cabana.
I gave
the happy bus speech to John also from the other podcast. I was like,
John could use the happy bus.
I was like, John, you need the happy bus. You
need to get on the happy bus.
He was like, just choose to get on the happy bus.
When I need to get motivated, I look up Diamond Dallas Page and Scott Hall, and I just watch them work out.
Well, just
apparently though,
you just watch Scott Hall go from being not a human to a human.
Yeah, it's great. It's a nice transition.
Jake the Snake as well. Yeah,
Jake the Snake.
I haven't seen the Jake the Snake stuff yet.
Because like I was telling you know like Keith, I was with Keith on Wednesday. Keith saw.
I like how much you're saying my name. I'm enjoying it. Just keep saying it.
And Keith saw the transition, the Jekyll Hyde transition that occasionally befalls me.
The Jekyll Hyde transition when he drinks the magical serum. Called half a bottle of fucking Canadian whiskey,
I'll have a night every once in a while where that'll happen. Jake the Snake Roberts had a decade and a half.
Yeah,
a decade and a half.
Period of his life.
Yeah, it was he went into monster mode for 18 years. You know,
a decade and a half
apparently you
conservative measurement.
You ever see Beyond the Mat, the documentary?
Yeah.
Apparently, you can't bring that up with him. Interviews and stuff with Jake the Snake, he won't talk about
well,
that.
Well, no shit, he's fucking gets high
on.
Yeah,
but he doesn't like the way he's portrayed in that. And I heard somebody.
Well,
talk,
he did meth or whatever on camera, so there's not a lot of ways to edit that nicely. Like other than maybe omitting it from the film.
New Jack was on the Cole Cabana podcast, and Cole Cabana's talking to New Jack about that.
Didn't New Jack kill a man though?
Several men. But he's a bounty hunter, so.
But no, but he killed he killed a man before becoming a wrestler. But then didn't he kill a man in the ring by accident?
No, he cut a man's head in the ring. That was the mass transit incident. Al,
your mic.
You gotta pipe up because otherwise I fall into the wrestling circle.
I'm sorry. You're listening. I just started wondering what the Ultimate Warrior is doing right now.
The wrestling circle is probably breathing heavily. Yeah,
and probably saying like very narrow-minded, bigoted comments about like every race and sexual belief.
Is he racist? Is he
he's
racist?
Everything
really?
Terrible. Yeah, he's like the epitome of like a crazy fucking conservative douchebag.
Did you ever, Al, was there a period in life where you watched wrestling regularly?
Yeah, there was.
Yeah?
I used to watch Raw every Monday.
Yeah?
And the occasional SmackDown, the occasional pay-per-views. But I
the big ones like Royal Rumble, WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The good ones. Why'd you stop?
I'd go like see
the big
theaters.
Four.
I don't know. I just got tired of it, I guess.
Comes in
but
waves.
Then I started going to live wrestling shows more like the ISW.
Okay.
And now Battle War.
IWS.
Battle War.
ISW as well. Interesting.
Yes. Yeah, and this is
explain interspecies.
This is kind of how this
it sounds like we're wrestling a dog.
This is kind of how this podcast actually started. You know how like our podcast normally like devolve into pro wrestling talk? Well, this podcast actually had its genesis into Al and I devolving into wrestling talk and the local wrestling scene because Al knows a couple of the people involved with the Battle War promotion,
which we've had
shows coming up this Sunday. But that reference doesn't make any sense because it's going to come out weeks after this.
A Battle War star.
We've had Green Phantom on. We've had Pat LaPrade, who's tangentially involved with it.
Yeah.
But Al knows. I don't know. Like, I don't want to give away. Like, I don't want to give away alter egos or identities. But
Twiggy and Giant Tiger,
who are two big stars of the Battle War promotion. Giant Tiger is you know Giant Tiger. He's amazing.
Yeah. What's Giant Tiger? The last Battle War show that I was at was a couple weeks ago, where he was just like, for some reason, and it was like apparently
the one I went with you probably.
Yeah. Like, there just happened to be a couple guys in from Toronto, so there ended up being a lot of Montreal-Toronto matches. And I think
they were
that night. So, like, Giant Tiger was just, like, playing it up. It was just sort of like, Toronto sucks, and so does their cocaine.
I hear they have shitty coke, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
or so I hear.
I love Giant Tiger. It's like, the most ridiculous persona. There's just...
Pants that just do not close. Cowboy boots. Yeah, that he take off to wrestle.
Yeah.
So the Western gimmick is only sometimes.
Yeah.
Depends on the days. Yeah.
It depends on how he wakes up that morning.
Are you friends with Giant Tiger on Facebook?
No.
No, but I will
please,
be now.
Yeah, please add him and just watch your Facebook become way more interesting all of a sudden from his random drunken updates.
Awesome. He's not exactly a physical specimen. Like,
but goddamn it, does he have some ring skills?
Yeah,
like, exactly.
He's got some good fucking ring skills, man.
I mean, he needs to have learned everything to be able to do it so wrong all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
On purpose.
To do it so wrong and to not hurt himself constantly.
Exactly.
You know, it's like a man learning to like fall off.
It's hard to play sloppy, man. He's doing it really well.
So, other than just shooting the shit about wrestling, which we've been coming up on for 10 minutes, you are here for a plugging purpose, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to. We can just talk about wrestling.
I usually pull this shtick where I force the plug element into the show, and I'm like, plug something now, and then you're like, stop talking about wrestling.
Whatever. But now Walder's on his phone, so he's just checked out of the podcast.
I'm you know what I'm doing on my phone?
Adding Giant Tiger
on Facebook.
As you should be too, if you're listening to this podcast on your phone, go search Giant Tiger.
El Tigre Gigante. He's our next guest.
Don't be tricked. You don't want the Canadian budget store. You want the.
No, I want that too. Actually, because that's my favorite
go ahead,
fucking store in the world.
Both.
Did he name himself? Did the inspiration come from the store?
You'll have to.
It absolutely
ask him.
Had to, dude. The store is from.
It had to.
I don't think that he just pulled Giant Tiger, being like, I'm a wrestler named Godzilla, but not from the movies. Like, that's not a thing from Walmart.
That would be a good wrestling. Godzilla, not from the movies.
Exactly.
Just all
coming
at once.
From parts unknown. Godzilla, not from the movies.
So I seem to have liked his public page.
That's close.
Is that what you're talking about? But you got to find him as like a friend as well.
I'm not sure. I can't remember. I just see him in the news feed.
I'm gonna message
him.
I'm gonna message him. Yo, Giant Tiger, friend.
Yo, Tiger.
So. Yeah.
So,
tell us what you do, like, other than being a guy who's just down to talk about wrestling, which is a big plus on this show. why did you get on the show? Why are you on this show?
I'm the interim manager of the St. Albans Fringe Festival.
Just rolls off the tongue.
The interim general manager. Is that a position you've had for a while? Are you like, this is year 5 from general manager? They just won't give me the fucking title.
I've been on since August, okay. So it's about a year now.
But is it like do you want to be general manager, or is it like, are you interim by your choice?
It's kind of up in the air. I stepped into it not on purpose. It just kind of happened.
There was a vacancy to be done.
And my purpose in life is to fix things. So I fixed things. I stepped in when there was at the fringe.
Tombstone epitaph.
So I'm there for that.
Fixes things.
Yep. Fixed things.
If there is an afterlife, it might still be.
Al, when did you start fixing things?
That's a good question. Last year. Probably right when I stepped into
this
world.
But previously, you were Al the Destroyer LaFrance.
Yeah.
Now you're Fixer.
I still do smash things. It's a big element that I've brought into work. We have a smash pile. Whenever something is broken, a CD player stops working, I have this pile, and if we have too awful a day, we take out a sledgehammer and smash whatever that is. So as much as I fix things, I also like to destroy.
I'm a manager at work, and that sounds awesome.
Do you come from a broken family?
I don't. My parents have been happily married for 31 years.
So that's something you didn't have to fix.
Yeah, no.
Nor
no.
That you ever tried to.
No.
That was a weird jump there, Walter. I was going to be like, did your dad smash things?
Was your family broken growing up?
Was your heart ever broken?
So, that was a gamble question for me because I didn't know the answer either way. Like, I'm going to throw this one out there, and it's either going to seem kind of funny or you're going to look like a total piece of shit.
I got a good one. Was your heart ever broken, and how did you fix it if it was?
Aw, Keith. Fucking too soon, man. Come on.
That's kind of too soon. My heart has been broken. Let's not get into that. It's fixed.
There you go. Still fixed it. Without getting into any of the details. And now you're married to a lady called Fringe.
Yeah, pretty much. Fringe is a 24/7 job when you get around to May and June. But it's great.
And you've been involved, definitely, for...
Yeah, I've been around for 2 years.
And I've seen you, if I'm not mistaken, other Fringes?
I've gone to the Victoria Fringe, and Toronto Fringe, Ottawa Fringe, and this summer...
You're ever in a professional capacity, or just checking them out?
For the first time, well, I've been there reviewing, mostly.
Your website?
For bloodyunderrated.net.
Plug your website?
Bloodyunderrated.net.
I like that website.
Bloodyunderrated.net.
Give a damn fine review to a little production last year called Pitching Knife Fight.
Also, Bloody Underrated Records, now a thing.
Ooh.
Yeah, very exciting.
You're very busy. You're in a very busy.
Is that a label of some sort?
Yeah.
He's like, no.
No, it's just a thing. I'm going to be checking out in a performer capacity. I'm going to the Fundy Fringe Festival, the first ever
Fundy?
Fringe Festival in St. John, New Brunswick.
The Bay of Fundy,
not like only Fundies are invited.
Wow.
So that's August 21st to 25th. I'm going to be there with a show called Flip It. With a company made entirely out of Montreal Fringe staff members.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
How many companies how long
There's 15
is that
companies.
There?
It's 5 days, 15 companies, 75 shows.
Okay.
You compare that to ours, which is 21 days, 111 companies, 715 shows.
18,000 fucking shows. I think it was really last year when I was involved in the festival that I got a full appreciation for how much fucking shit is going on.
When you're competing with other shows, you really notice how many other shows there are.
It's fucking insane. It's flyer apocalypse.
Well, yeah, the flyer stuff is so much. Just that's half pissing into the wind if you're flyering. So you're hopefully this will grab you and somehow.
It's not if you're doing it right, man.
How do you do it?
Aspiring Fringers, listen now. You may have stopped listening during the Wrestle Talk, but that was your fault.
Exactly.
You're stupid.
That was a test.
And now Al's going to tell you how to have the best show at Fringe. Al?
How do you win at flyering and postering?
You meet people constantly, and you don't just start and be like, this is my show, see it.
Okay.
You engage people. You have a conversation
with somebody. Conversations. Yeah.
Those
help.
Those are good.
What's your plan B?
Be very visible, if you've got a costume or anything, if you're actually wearing your poster, that's a thing that always helps.
See, pull your dick out.
Yeah.
Pull it right out.
You can do that.
Walter
had
Knife Fight tattooed on his dick to be
Knife
Fight!
I don't even want to talk about how much the laser removal costs on that one.
Why would you have that laser?
But it's hilarious because now he just has a scar that says Knife Fight instead of a tattoo. Not that I've seen it.
I went in, and then the laser surgeon, he tells me, he's like, we don't have the laser... that's low intensity enough that won't just, you know, like, just physically remove your entire penis. That's what he said to me. And I said, find one.
And he did?
No, he didn't. So I just did it myself. Yeah. With I got one of those laser pointers and, like, a D battery. And, like, I sort of jerry-rigged it. And
did you hear about those big rear-view projection TVs? That there's, like, a big giant lens in the back of, like, rear-view protection TVs that you can, like, make, like, a solar-powered, like, laser beam that could, like, melt through stuff. Look it up on the internet. It is.
I've not heard of that. That sounds crazy. You know,
it is fucking crazy. They were like, especially if you look at those, like, those old big ones, like the ones that, like, used to be like 50-inch projection TVs. They have this, like, enormous fucking, like, lens that's, like, super fucking curved and super thick. And they're like, you just put it on a swivel and then, like, have it focus, and you, like, will be able to light a chair on fire by just, like, pointing it at the chair in the sun.
Jesus.
We should use a process from the website to make one of those.
Well. Or we could just go around on moving day until we find one chucked on the curb.
So this is what kind of TV we're looking for?
A projection TV.
What are those?
The old-timey TVs, like a tube TV.
Like a cathode ray TV?
No, I said a rear projection TV. A cathode ray works through a different thing.
What the fuck is a rear projection TV, though?
It's like where it shoots it through a magnifying glass and then projects it into the onto the screen.
When was that ever a thing?
Almost TVs that are not cathode ray TVs are rear projection TVs.
It basically went, though, from cathode ray to, like, fucking, like, flat-screening LCD shit.
Anytime you've seen a TV that has, like, a curve on the back, that's, like, the projection area.
Curve on the back of what?
Okay, look. You want to jump in here, Al? Cause
no, no, go on.
Big TV. Here's the screen, right?
Yeah.
And then it's, like, on the back, it goes, like, whoop, and it gets kind of narrower.
It goes, whoop.
This is good, because I'm using a lot of gestures on a podcast.
Yeah,
it's really great.
Yeah, usually great, do this great visuals.
And so
the role of Walter
the
today is
Keith. Here, and then the image is being shot through a big, giant fucking magnifying glass that pops it up to the size of the fucking screen.
That sounds like a shitty model for a TV. I don't understand why that was ever a thing. That doesn't sound like a good way to
That's how you made got big screen TVs in, back in the day.
So let's find one.
Let's find one. Let's do it. Let's fucking... You can fix things.
I'm gonna turn my mic. I can smash it, too.
I'm actually going to turn my mic off, and I'm just going to go do it now. I'm just going to go.
Bye, Walter.
Go.
Hey, well, Walter's gone. Anyway, right. Fringe. Yeah, like, I always thought that it was, like, last year, because I was doing the Fringe podcast and everything else.
Yeah.
And I was, like, I was seeing, like, a whole bunch of shows, and then you'd run into somebody at the beer tent, and you're like, oh, yeah, I saw this and this and this and this, and they were like, I saw none of those. I saw this and this, and you're like, I've been going to, like, a bunch of shows every day, and you've had 100% of a different Fringe experience that I have. Like, it's just impossible to even do it all, you know? Like, it's...
Yeah, it's insane.
With 20 days, and it's 111 shows? Like, yep. 111 companies, let's say. So
yeah, most, and those are mostly in the last 10 days of the festival. Yeah. But our shows this year, like our off shows, start as early as June 6th. So it's like
but
it's
you still
a whole
need,
17
you need,
days.
Yeah, exactly. You still be needing to go to like 5.
Yeah, the most I've ever seen in a festival is 36. And I mean, for us, that's like a fraction. That's like
that's a third, right? That's like you're seeing 1 in 3, and that's going to see multiple shows a day. Constantly.
And that's seeing a lot. That's more than most people will see in one festival.
Do you
so,
have any shows you're particularly excited about this year, or
what type of show do you like?
What shows are you excited about? I don't care.
I there's
the question is you. Now I'm not going to ask you to say what are the best shows, but just between you and I, what are the best shows?
I can't possibly say what the best shows are because I haven't seen them. Right?
You can say which
there's 111
you're, like,
of them. There's some, yeah, I mean, it's great to have Little Orange Man coming in from Snafu Dance Theater from out in Victoria. That's a show that I've seen 3 or 4 times now. So
I like to point out that Walter has actually taken his headset off at this point.
Yeah.
No, he's gone. Now that you talked, you blew it, fucking dumbass. All right.
There's a show called Borderland that just got added in.
Is it related to the video game in any way?
It is not related to the video
game. Disappointment on my face right now.
Oh, but it's got a lot of good buzz going, so hopefully people go out and see that one. There's a lot of returning Fringers from previous years, like Peter and Chris and Sam Mullins. Jem Rolls is in for his 11th year in a row. Dan Bingham.
Not going to lie, I was always disappointed that Peter Chris was not Peter Chris. Like from Kiss.
Oh, yeah. That would be pretty great. Yeah. Okay, you're right.
Like, it's like,
tell them that their next show should be called Peter and Chris Become Rock Stars, and they both just impersonate Peter Chris
exactly
for the whole time.
You guys, check out this sweet TV I found. I found one.
Oh, my God. We're going to smash it open, use the screen.
Let's make fucking lasers, and let's do a laser show at Fringe Fest.
Oh, my God. We should build the giant ring, bring it to the beer tent, and then melt people's beer cups.
Please don't set things on fire in the park.
Nothing's flammable. It's mostly plastic. It'll melt.
There are flammable
things.
We
won't point it at it.
I mean, there are no flammable things.
Never, ever point it at the ticket booth. That's all gasoline.
A few years ago, wasn't there, like, actually wrestling set up in the Fringe Park?
There has been wrestling in the past, yeah. This is that's
I think it was actually
involved.
Fucking Tiger I saw that night.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, I saw a giant tiger in the fucking Fringe Park in the ring and fighting someone, and they were possibly both, oh no, or they showed a video and they had like a strip match where they both fought in their underwear.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Giant Tiger just starts in his underwear. He's like, ready! I think that's not what this is about.
I really want to talk about the other thing you told me about Giant Tiger, but I feel like I'm going to blow his cover.
Yeah. Don't do it.
I'm going to do it. All right. So last year, the show that impressed, I think, the most people was that one about the girl and her relationship with her father.
I'm really, really shocked that you weren't just being like, that one with the guy.
I was waiting for you to say Knife Fight.
Who was pitching a film called Knife Fight. No, that was...
Don't know about
that.
Oh,
my God. I feel bad that I fucking forgot her name. We had her on the show.
Yeah, I was.
Is that "Kissed by a Butterfly"?
No,
is that the one? No.
Was
that a Seal song?
I was kissed by a butterfly on the face.
That's exactly how that went. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
There used to be some kind of butterfly kissing me. Yeah. Do you remember the monarch on your dad's face?
Hey!
I kissed him. To me, you're like a butterfly kissing me every day.
Now it's Butterfly Kisses by Sean Mullins.
So, Al, you're here to talk about the Fringe Festival today?
That is correct.
Yes.
Whatever, you knew what you were getting into, Al.
I know.
This is our MO. Yeah, but that one with the girl with her, she played her mom. And she was like, it was like a one-woman.
We did have her
on.
Oh, Yana Kasala, doing the
She's
Ukrainian
back.
Dentist daughter.
And
She's
she
back
won
with
Spirit of the Fringe last year, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We had her on the show before she broke.
Was it?
It won Spirit of the Fringe, yeah. And yeah, she's back with a new show called I Think My Heart Needs Glasses, which just opened in Orlando.
Or at the very least, corrective surgery. Am I right?
Yeah.
I think my heart needs corrective surgery. And then a six-month follow-up to make sure it took.
And then maybe contacts once in a while.
But yeah, Yana's great. It's great to have an out-of-towner do that well, too.
Where is she from?
She's from Seattle.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
She comes in here for, like, this is, like, her second year running?
Stays on my couch.
Nice.
And then Fringes.
Very good.
Wow. Yeah. So, hot tip. If you want to win Spirit of the Fringe, sleep on Al's couch.
That's not how she wants Spirit of the Fringe.
So she's at your place for, like, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, all our out-of-towners, like a lot of them, we need to find the building. So it's all through volunteers and staff. Whoever's got spare. If you guys have spare rooms, we still need billeters. No matter when you publish this podcast, I'm probably right in saying that we need billeters.
So one of the funniest things that I thought was that Shane Adamczak was an out-of-towner and then didn't leave.
Yeah.
And then just lives here now.
Yeah, he fell in love with the city. Yeah.
Is that true?
He leaves again in August, though.
Where was he from originally?
Australia.
He's from Perth.
Really?
Australia.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have much of an accent, though.
He has so much of an accent. Are you thinking of the right person?
Leia's roommate.
Yeah.
Zach Adams. Who's currently
Vicious
in the
Circles.
Vicious Circles production.
Yeah. That's closed now, but yeah. That's the one.
But I've spoken
Walter's like leaning back in his chair processing.
I feel like I've spoken with him, though.
Yeah, probably, and he probably had his heavy Australian accent.
You should go back if you're really blowing,
this is blowing my mind
right now.
Go back
to our last year's podcast because we also had him on the podcast with Elizabeth Blue, and that's almost everybody's reaction to Elizabeth Blue.
She's gonna be back this year, not performing, just volunteering because she loves us.
She's like
I didn't know who the fuck you were talking about, and I was like, oh, yeah.
As soon as you see her, you're like, oh, yeah. Like, she's just, like the spirit of the Fringe and the, like, the sense of, like, you're like, oh, she's just, like, woo, and just happy to be wherever she is at Fringe. She's just, like, jazzed.
I have a bunch of, like, posters and photos from old Fringe shows behind my desk at the office, and overlooking them all is a picture of Elizabeth Blue from last year. It just seems like she'll take care of things if I put her there.
Yeah, no, she's a very, very positive. Like, for... And if you judge her stage stuff. Like, it's like the fact that she maintains that positivity considering the amount of, like, internal turmoil that she, like, that puts herself through. You're like, wow.
I remember that poster, actually. That's the poster from last year. And it's just her, and she looks super content and happy.
It kind of looks like the cover of, like, a weird space-age self-help book. That was her flyer. It's just like...
Her feet, her looking a little bit dreamy.
Like, her thetan level is, like, fucking off the fucking charts, man.
The what
like,
level?
Thetan.
Thetan?
Anyway.
Thetan?
I think it's thetan.
Whatever. But that's the Scientology thing.
I was actually telling Victoria... Not Victoria. I was telling Amy yesterday... at the JFL press thing, that, you know, the crowbar, a couple blocks from here? Somehow, my poster has stayed up since, like, last fucking late May when I put it up there. It's right over the ATM machine. It's the one where the knife is at my eyeball.
And I should go poster over that.
It's just, it's been up, it's stayed up there. And I think it's just because the bartender kind of likes me. Like, this dude, and I did, like, a very brief preview of Fringe Fest when I had a Bikaza show there, like...
Yeah.
Bikaza... Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Because and then I'll talk about why I'm pissed off about that.
Okay.
So let's talk about that. I'll talk about why I'm pissed off.
Thanks for the heads up.
I'll talk about why I'm pissed off about it, but then we'll conclude that it's an objectively good thing.
Okay.
All right. So first of all,
happy bus.
I'm always on the happy bus.
All right.
It's episode 39. Got to keep it special.
Yeah. So let's do this.
So many great episode 39.
Or 38.
Maybe
you heard good. You heard it here. Maybe not first, kids, but
we're gonna say first. We're gonna break this.
Tell us about the Bikaza's involvement in this year's Fringe Festival.
They are headlining the final show in the Indie Montreal Fringe Music Discovery Series on the 22nd of June at Divine,
which is pretty cool.
Gonna miss it. Yeah. I'm at a wedding.
Now here's why no one cares. Now here's why I'm mildly upset about that. They had previous plans because this is also gonna double as their launch for their new album.
Fuck you, Shredder.
Hashtag fuck you Shredder. And they had previous plans that they were going to like do like a weekend long launch thing with like barbecues and video games. And,
oh, that sounds great.
And I was going to like host the whole thing. And
is that why you're mad?
They had pegged me. They're like, Walter, you want to host the whole thing? I'm like, sounds tits. Like, it's going to be super fun. And then they're like, yeah, so our plans changed a couple times. And then he's like, we're going to do this now. I'm like, so what's like the format of the show going to be? It's like... Yes, it's going to be a show now. I'm like, right, so something that wouldn't require me to host it. Okay, that's fine. That's cool. All right. No, good, but it's going to be really good host fit for the friend. So, but then, that being said, though, I'm stoked that they're part of the Fringe Festival.
Yep.
And I'm going to be part of the Fringe Festival this year, I think in some capacity.
Al's shaking his head no.
Holly Greco got in touch with me, asked me my availability, so... There's a good chance I'll be hosting a 13th hour.
That's exciting.
Perhaps. And I'll be co-hosting. It looks like I'm going to be co-hosting the Out of Town Fringe for All.
Oh, that's great.
You know the date
that's
on that one?
Night.
That's the 13th. I want to say 13th, but that's, I think that's wrong.
Actually, that's right.
June 13th?
Yeah.
Out of Town Fringe for All co-hosted by moi and someone else who has not been divulged, whose identity has not been divulged.
And we have great Out of Towners this year. So,
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Like Yana and like Bob Rader from the John Montgomery Theater Company. They bring a show called Circle that was just like slaughtered in New York, and I'm really happy that they're bringing it here. Saw them perform a couple years back in Victoria. No, they literally murdered people.
Oh man,
it's a great
show. Hell of a show.
Hell of a show.
It's a gamble just going. But
if you're
going
to see a lot of shows and you're going to include that one, just make sure it's the last one.
Yeah, exactly.
Just on the odd chance.
Yeah, exactly.
That you are killed.
Like, just go there, like, just be ready. Bring knives. Only don't bring knives. Like,
but bring all the knives.
Bring, knives.
Bring all the
weapons.
Knives, though.
Please
if,
no
if
weapons.
Anybody needs knives,
go
give me a call.
Find Walter. You'll recognize him as the knife fight guy. He will have a knife on him. Or his dick. Tattooed with knife fight on it.
Tattooed with knife fight. clumsily removed with a makeshift MacGyver laser. Yeah, Amy was telling me that my poster is still up in the mainline offices also.
He's like, not anymore.
No, not, it's
take
not
it down.
Not your poster. I have a photo of you that you
just
autographed.
Oh, the headshot.
Yeah, I have that.
Oh, my God.
That's also up in my office, but far away from Elizabeth Blue because you just shouldn't
I should not be close to Elizabeth.
No, like, that's not a good fit.
Elizabeth, I think, is too fragile a soil to be, like,
fragile
overly...
Soul.
Yeah. You're right in between a Bad Religion poster and a St. Albois pumpkin ale poster. I figure that's where you fit
in so.
The spectrum of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to hopefully be all over a couple of those 13th hours, man, because this could be fun.
I'm banking on the 13th hours because I finish work at midnight. So I'm just going to be like, whatever, 13th hour, here I come.
I think the best.
We're bringing back the money wheel this year.
What's the money wheel?
It's a giant spinning wheel that has a bunch of prizes and or 11-second dance parties or slow motion bar fights.
They had sort of something similar last year.
Yeah.
But you're like I was not a fan. The wheel is coming back in terms of general.
Well, that's cool, but the wheel's kind of a staple of 13th hour, so it's going to be great to have it back.
So strange that the beer tent closes early. Like or early by previous.
Is that city bylaw?
Early, like at 11.
Early, like
for drinking outdoors in public,
when you had to apply for fucking licenses
and
shit.
Teenager, like
we still get licenses for the record license. Carry on.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's not weird at all.
Yeah,
but it's like
exactly.
When I was like I remember going to Fringe when I was like 18, 19, and that was 11, 12 years ago, and like the beer tent
23 years ago
until people were gone almost. Like it was like 1-2 in the morning, often. And now it's like 11 o'clock, get out! And you're like,
oh. Yeah, Keith, well, you know what it's not now? 11 years
ago. It's not 2001.
So stop living in the fucking past.
9/11 ruined everything.
Fuck shit up, man.
9/11 ruined the beer tent and Fringe. This is why we don't make any money selling t-shirts. Our 9/11 ruined the beer
9/11
tent.
9/11 ruined
t-shirts just don't sell. Although I feel that we should
9/11 ruined the beer tent, and it's not the way you think.
Exactly. Look for 9 to 5, Amir Walter at the beer tent. We'll have our 9/11 ruined the beer
ruined
tent.
The beer tent.
I really hope that quote is never misattributed to me in this podcast.
9/11 ruined the beer. Also, stay tuned for the 2014 Fringe Festival, where we're gonna have a show called 9/11 ruined the beer tent. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, it's our new song.
I was like,
podcast.
No. No, that's not a Fringe show.
I was just thinking, there's a show I want to talk about now that kind of relates to 9/11, but it's weird to segue out of 9/11 into a show I'm excited about. That's called Osama the Hero.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, but it's a great play. It's about a kid who's asked to write a story about a hero, not necessarily his hero. And the first person that comes to mind is Osama bin Laden, so he writes it, and then he gets persecuted by his town. It's like a dark comedic drama. It's being put on by Lifelong Production. And
wow.
It sounds great.
Sounds edgy as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bold play to be putting
for
on.
Sure.
Well, you know, and there's a place to do it.
Is it premiering here, or is it like, or has he done it before in other cities?
That play has, I think it's been produced somewhere else, but I'm not 100% sure.
Do you guys got new venues this year?
Yep. We have one new venue in our like main venues 1 to 12. Yep. It's venue number 7 is Rhodos, which is a Greek restaurant up on Park. It's a 4-minute and 12-second walk away from Cabaret de Mylène if you walk at Amy Blackmore's pace, which is a little bit slow. But she's short, you know, she's tiny. It's not her fault. It's 3 minutes.
Is that how you judge? Is that how you judge, like official walking
yes.
times?
Do you know
is,
the owners
Amy
of
Blackmore.
Rhodos?
Well,
okay,
I've met them.
Can you suggest that they change the name to Roadhouse?
No.
Roadhouse, Greek restaurant.
It's called
that.
Roadhouse. It's just a way
that's
it's
just
pronounced.
That's just the Greek
word.
Rhodos is Greek for Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
It's a beautiful venue. We're using the second floor as a reception hall that we convert into a venue. A lot of our venues are kind of made up venues that we just build on June 7th. So that's one of them.
And Montreal Improv is once again this year an off venue.
Yeah, that's correct. And we've got a few new off venues. We've got Bois de Gourmand, which is a restaurant at Laurier in Saint-Denis, and there's a show there. We have an outdoors show that you have to meet at the alleyway between Duluth and Bag, between 76 and 86 Duluth. You meet in that alleyway, and then they take you to the show.
You know what would be cool?
What?
Do you know
where does the show happen, though?
It's on 4 different people's balconies in that hallway.
You know what would be very cool?
I want to go to that.
I just had a super cool idea. If you had a show that was like a walking tour of that area. But
that has happened.
That's cool then, whoever did that.
Did you say that happened
2 years ago school on the spot
Keith,
improv.
You got schooled.
On the spot's improvised walking
that's
tours.
Awesome.
I remember that.
Fucking on the spot. On the spot and uncalled for, man. Just fucking stealing. Every, we were on the same bill. Every improv idea of all time.
I was recently on the same bill as Uncalled For.
Where, like okay, on the, look, Sketchfest.
Just
put your penis away. We know it says Knife Fight. Put it away.
It says Uncalled For on the other side for some reason.
Knife Fight, Uncalled For, snap!
An Uncalled For Knife Fight is a terrifying thing. So
like not? A Knife Fight's typically terrifying, but if it's completely uncalled for,
it's normally called
yeah, exactly.
for.
That was
it's normally understandable.
You need to make that a double bill, just in general. Just an
uncalled
for
knife
fight.
Fight.
Walter's like, his eyes are just turned into dollar signs, like in a fucking Looney Tunes cartoon.
Knife Fight has never made my eyes turn into dollar signs. No.
It's really weird that your eyes didn't turn into dollar signs when you were talking about 9/11 earlier.
9/11?
Keith is a terrorism profiteer.
9/11.
Now that's a shirt I would wear.
Terrorism profiteer.
Keith is a terrorism profiteer. I would wear that.
I think that's what we're just gonna start doing. Is just we're gonna start putting on t-shirts with no designs, just like kind of long sentences that are like very, very like this is a sentence that was said one time on the podcast.
And don't put Keith's last name on it so that I can claim it's Keith Waterfield.
Yeah.
As well, depending on who.
But it was obviously always Keith Waterfield.
Yeah. Keith is a terrorism profiteer.
You hear that, Keith?
Yeah. He's going to be on the show one day.
Yeah.
It's surprising he hasn't.
Make a note that the first question you ask him should be, so why do you want to profiteer
no, or just
from
being like,
terrorism
how much,
so much?
How much cold cash did you bring in profiteering from 9/11? Like, let's be fair. You don't have a job. A real one. You support yourself by profiteering from 9/11.
It's like, why did you Photoshop your... Why is your Facebook profile picture your head Photoshopped on that guy that hacked up the British soldier? That's, like, weird. That's just, like,
that's
cool,
super
man.
Not cool.
It's not cool, Keith.
Other Keith.
Other Keith. Right.
Guys, this is feeling pretty sad, Bus.
You're right.
Can we take it back to Happy Bus?
Keith, edit that last part out. Let's get back on the Hat Bus. Hat Bus? Hat Bus!
Hashtag Hat Bus.
I want to get so rich one day
Hashtag
that I need
bus.
A bus to carry all my hats.
Hashtag hat bus hashtag.
And then I'm like, I'll go from city to city, and then inevitably just wear one hat in each city, and it's like completely unnecessary to have the bus.
Hashtag J-Dog.
It's like, hashtag J-Dog.
that's a great shirt that no one would
we
buy.
We are laughing.
Hashtag J-Dog.
J-Dob.
That's a mispronunciation of day job, by
it's
the way.
It's just, you know, it's just like a slip
wow.
up. It's just, you know, when you do that thing, we put the switch to
called,
the first
called
yep.
Malaprop.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, Triple H did it. So it was super funny.
And he was just sort of like, what are you doing? He's like, you might be asking yourself, what are you doing in the ring, Triple H? What are you doing your J-Dob? You're like, day job. You're like, ah, hashtag J-Dob.
I laughed for about a half hour. Keith was there. He could attest to it.
I was just sitting there, and it was like three matches later, and Walter
was
like,
"Janda,
I'm gonna get up and get another round of beers for me and Al, presumably.
Sure.
Right, on Walter's tab. And you good there?
No, this one's on your tab.
Oh, son of a bitch. You good? Are you good, Walter?
You can give me a Burbinski.
But you gonna give me your fucking glass? All right, bud.
On my tab.
All right.
Well, you'll probably give me a clean
talk
glass,
amongst eh? Yourselves.
That's ridiculous. So let's talk a little bit more now about so you actually have no affiliation with the Battle War. You're just like sort of like a
I just like them.
Hanger,
they're
a,
friends.
A hanger on, as it were.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was in a match once. In a Battle Royale.
Nice, were you?
Yeah, and Giant Tiger cheated me out of my victory. And I hold a grudge.
Was
so. No, he was not around.
Did you have
that
a character
day.
Name?
No, they billed me as a general manager of Mainline Isle of France. I was like, really?
General manager.
Oh, man. I was hoping they would go Al No Pants La France.
See, it is a wrestling title, though. Like, Al
yeah.
what?
No Pants La France.
No Pants La France.
That's what I put as a credit.
You,
when
wear,
I,
you do primarily wear shorts.
Or no pants at all.
No pants. Yes.
But yeah, I was in that match. Giant Tiger cheated me. And one day I will get my revenge because I should have been, I could have gone on to be in a tag team with Vanessa Craven later on. It would have been wonderful.
Vanessa Craven?
Vanessa Craven is another wrestler. She's terrifying and fantastic.
It's just amazing. I'm so enamored. And you know what strikes me about the Battle War is this the quality of wrestling is actually a really good quality.
Yeah, it's a great show. Yeah.
Like it's a good show. And
last week we were talking about the Fringe. Back we're talking about wrestling. Big
Battle War.
Fucking surprise!
Actually, you left
with Al, and you
left after we talked Triple H.
No, we talked.
So
we talked about J-Dawg, which is our thing that we took from Triple H. Taking it back. Take it back.
It's strange, that, it's strange that he's never brought it back either.
It's true. Like it's like, oh, time you to think, play the game.
You think that
J-Dub?
He would work that in? J-Dub. He's gonna get Motorhead to record a new song called King of J-Dubs. Yeah. Bow down to the King of J-Dubs. Is that the second song parody I've done in this episode?
Maybe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, we've had Kissed by a Butterfly on the Face and Bow Down.
Usually I do Nope song parodies.
This is
I'm up to two, and we're 40 minutes in? 45 minutes
fucking
in?
Fucking hard proof that we're in the Happy Bus era of the podcast.
That I've done two song parodies.
The fact that you're drinking fucking double bourbon straight up is absolutely nothing to do with the number of song parodies in the episode.
Not at all. Have you seen
I had one double bourbon.
It's about to. It's coming up. The next one.
So this episode will ultimately have 9 song parodies.
The last 20 minutes is just Walter J. Link's song parody's greatest hits.
This would be rehashes of J-Dub and Butterfly. What?
Have you seen the documentary on Lemmy?
Yes.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yes. Yeah.
It's a great
It's really
film.
Long.
Yeah.
But it's good.
But it's worth it.
It's like 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Your, what kind of music are you into other than Mono Xerge and Motorhead?
Thank you.
Mono Xerge.
Right on.
Social is awesome. A little bit of everything. I listen to a lot of stuff. I'm in a punk phase currently, so I'm listening to new NoFX, which is sad. Like, not that it's sad that I'm listening to them, just their new music is sad. Like, it's
whose days go by?
And it's
No, that was Offspring. I fucked that up.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think the
shameful.
That was new Offspring. I just
no, the saddest. Indeed. The
That's
saddest
awful.
Punk band
new
was
Offspring is the worst.
Fucking the Rancid. The Rancid album there. The If I Fall Back Down, You're Gonna Help Me Back Up Again.
But that's at least being slightly uplifting. Fat Mike wrote... Okay, he wrote a song back in 2000... Like, that's on the 2004 album, like, War on Errorism, that's called. Anyways, the song's called We've Got Two Jealous Agains, and it's about him meeting his wife and them, like, merging their record collections. And then he's got a song on the new album called I've Got One Jealous Again, where he just goes through, like, they're splitting up their record collection. It's the saddest thing in punk rock that I've heard, other than, like, people who perform songs about dying and then kill themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is the second closest.
I was at the Me First and the Giving Me's concert last Saturday.
Yeah? Yeah, how was that?
Fat Mike.
Right? Yeah,
yeah.
Sad.
It was a fest, yeah.
He's not really fat at all now.
No, he's
and
not.
And he kind of never was.
Most of the time, he was never fat,
kinda,
yeah.
He was, like, barrel-chested.
He was kind of, like, I'd say bloated. Like, but
bloated Mike. Doesn't
yeah,
have the
it
same
was good.
Ring
it was good. I mean, like, fuck, though, it was that a long show. Holy shit, it was like a four act show, man. Like, and then the third fucking act was.
You're looking at me like I was there, but I wasn't. Planet Smashers.
My T-shirt right now. It's a Planet Smashers. So like, when the third act is just the Planet Smashers, they're not even the headlining act.
Yeah.
And then Me First comes on like 12:45.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pooza Fest is crazy.
Yeah,
it
was good. It was
such
a
great
show. Like,
such a great lineup this year.
Missed it.
I missed
having a job.
Most of it because I work
a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Meverse is. I mean, just the fact that they still like tour as a band. Like,
well, that band will never die. Ever.
They could just do. They could do
the matching outfits. Is just like just destroys me.
It's great.
Like,
I remember I went to go see a Real Big Fish show. Like. Early 2000s or whatever, and they seriously had like 5 openers, and they got onto the stage like again like when it was like 12:45 in the morning or something, shit faced, and they were like, "Hey kids, if you're ever in a famous fucking band, don't have 5 openers because there's nothing."
How do you not go on at 12:45 and not be kind of
exactly
drunk? Like unless you're like fucking sober on the wagon,
yeah.
like
unless you're a straight.
They were like, "There's nothing to do in the green room but drink, kids." So a lot of our solos are gonna sound pretty sloppy tonight, and that was like.
Yeah.
At least they're giving you a heads up. At least they're filling you in so you're not like, man, that was an awful, awful
yeah, exactly.
show.
We are
drunk. Like, and it's like, they used to do this thing where they played, I don't know if you're a Real Big Fish fan at all.
I'm only vaguely
so
familiar.
So one of their tracks was called like Suburban Rhythm, and they used to play it like in multiple styles, like in rapid succession. And like they do like the weird like fucking heavy metal version and whatever with all these like guitars and stuff like that. They just started one, it was like, and the guitar was like, nope. That's not a thing we're doing tonight, guys. Like,
do you know, are you familiar with the Queers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now we can't use this podcast. Great.
Have you seen them live?
Yet. You don't even, do you remember? The Queers.
He's talking about the Queers.
Have you seen them live ever? They have a song called This Place Sucks, which they play 3 to 4 times a show in various styles as well. The only lyrics are "This place sucks," or occasionally more things about how this place sucks. It's great. It's always entertaining. Always a good song.
What?
That's all.
Can we start 5 questions now?
We could. We're like almost.
What are we at? Where are we at?
Directly on target for starting 5 questions right now.
Let's do 5 questions.
I have a question before we start 5 questions. Well, done. For you.
Is it "Where have all the song parodies been?"
Where have all the song parodies gone?
Ooh, one from Keith.
Yippee-yay, yippee-yay. Anyway.
It's a good one.
I know, right? Al, this
I like "Kissed by a Butterfly" more. To be honest.
So how are we going to do this? If we're going to bring this out before the episode, are we going to ask Tyler's question to him, or are we going to ask Alan's question to him?
No, but then Tyler's episode won't work.
So do we ask Tyler's question to him?
No, just ask him Tyler's question.
All right, but then explain it, and then I guess.
And then fuck it if we don't do it the right way. We'll just, like, I don't know, man, do what you want. You fucking put this shit up, put it like a disclaimer or something.
What do you think, Al?
Or don't.
I'm wondering if this whole conversation that you're having right now is still going to be part of this
podcast. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Just checking.
We like giving people, like, we're kind of like the Larry Sanders.
This is the process.
It's like the Larry Sanders show of the podcast, where you get both the actual podcast.
You get everything.
And then us bickering about, like, the guest choice and, like, how we're going to edit shit later on.
Okay, we do this thing about 5 questions, and one of the questions is a question asked from the previous guest to the future guest.
Great.
Okay, so now we have had Alain Mercieca on, who asked a question.
My mortal enemy. No.
Bring it out.
Secret best friend.
No, shit, it's out. It's out on the internet.
We're pretty much the only two Alains working in English and French, as far as I know. Like, we're both working in bilingual theaters.
You know the fucked up thing? I was about to be like, your name's not fucking Alain. Shut up.
And like, no.
Is it really a full Alain?
Yeah.
I thought it was like, I did not assume that.
No.
Come to think of it, I've never seen the two of them in the same place. They might be the same person.
Nope.
Thinking maybe. Anyway, okay, so.
We're not. I guarantee you we're not. He's a much better writer than I am.
So, Alain Mercieca asked a question. We have recorded a podcast that would fit chronologically where we ask that question to a guest. However, but in order to get this one up before Fringe, we might release this one before that one.
Okay.
So how would you go about that? Would you ask Alain's question to you?
Yes.
Okay, or would you ask the question from the person who's already answered the question backwards and then just explain in like a blur being like, the questions are fucked up, deal with it, kids.
I like that option.
I do like that you're telling the kids to deal with it.
Deal with it, kids.
So maybe that.
New t-shirt, deal with it, kids.
New t-shirt. Go plug yourself. 9 to 5s, go plug yourself. 43 episodes in, deal with the kids.
Deal with the kids. We haven't stopped yet. Okay.
Speaking of which, by the way, we're talking about Alain.
I will say that Alain's question is a little less offensive than Tyler's.
I can't even remember Tyler's. Yeah. And it was like, I can't remember Tyler's, and it was 3 days ago. We did an episode at Alain's place, and his kids were...
And we kept telling them to deal with it. Children come in. Yeah, we're recording a podcast in your kitchen, kid. Deal with it.
His sons were around. His daughter wasn't there, but I met his daughter, the other kid that was missing from that day. And like I hung out with all
missing
his kids
from that day.
I think we should totally have a podcast just with Alain's kids.
Yeah,
who are like two years old, like 6 years old, and they're like 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah,
his daughter's the oldest one.
Yeah, something around that. I don't know. I've never actually met his children.
Really cool.
So.
Well,
they must be. Cool. They would have
that
to
kid
be.
Goose.
That kid that looks like... you know what? It looks like Danny Torrance from fucking The Shining. He looks like the kid
Who has the great line on that podcast. Papa, Lucas veut pas jouer avec la balle. On me laisse pas jouer avec la balle.
Yeah, it's like losing his shit. Yeah.
Well, we can't make Lucas play with the ball with you. Like, that's... We just can't do it. Anyway. Sorry, we're going to ask you Tyler's question, and we're going to just fucking deal with it in post.
All right, let's do 5 questions.
5 questions.
5 questions.
On the happy bus.
Friends.
You got on the happy bus.
Taking it on
and now you're
the
gonna
happy bus.
5 questions.
Every day I'm on that bus. Today with hello friends.
First question. Favorite toy.
Was that a song?
The Who.
Oh.
Magic bus?
Come on the happy bus.
I didn't catch that. I'm sorry.
I slipped that one in. That one was for the classic rock fans out there.
I also turned
All right,
happy
question
bus
number
into
two. Question number two.
Question number one was your favorite toy. Favorite toy, right. Plaything, childhood. What made you happy as a child?
My Super Nintendo made me happy. I obsessively played Dr. Franken, Star Fox, and a variety of Mario games and Donkey Kong.
What the fuck
Kong.
Is Dr. Franken and Star Fox?
Dr. Franken.
It's one, two games.
And then Star Fox. Two
oh,
different
shit.
Games. Dr. Franken and Star Fox would be the greatest game of all time.
It just rolled off your tongue that way, too, man. Like, yeah. I was like,
well,
I was
playing them in succession.
Was that a fucking thing? Like, what was Dr. Franken again? Really?
No idea. We're going to have to take it upstairs.
Is a game where if you... you're Frankenstein, and you're trying to find your girlfriend's body parts so you can put her back together. And there's no save point in the game. It's just, like, every time you die, that's it. You restart the game from scratch. There's, like, 30 levels. What? It ruined my life.
Did you beat it?
Yeah, I beat it. And at the end, the payoff is
like,
not worth the amount of effort.
How long did it take
no,
to play 30
No, it's like
levels?
You get you see too long, like, years of my life. And then you see... you see him, like, you see all the parts put back together, but they're not put together correctly. And he's like, oh, this doesn't, no, never mind.
Never mind?
Yeah.
The last words of the game, never
pretty
mind.
Pretty much,
maybe
yeah.
Credits, never mind, credits.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked it up on, like, game FAQs or whatever? Maybe it's a time thing.
What
okay,
do you
like
mean?
When you,
because I didn't do it
yeah,
fast enough?
Yeah, because when you play...
There's no way I did not finish that fast enough. By
so
the
when,
like,
when
I probably could still finish that right
what's
now.
What's the gameplay time, though? Like, you from start to finish, you do all three levels, like, how long?
At this point... Well, probably under an hour,
yeah.
If you're
no
real,
I
if you're
say,
really
I
fast.
I would say look it up, because like if you think like, Metroid rules, right, where it's like
yeah.
Either she takes off the helmet and she's like hideously scarred, or she takes off the helmet and you realize it's a girl, or she takes off the whole suit and she's in a bikini.
Really?
Beat it under an hour, yeah.
Really?
Metroid 1 on NES.
Really?
Yeah, it's not anything to look at. It's just like
yeah,
Samus is in a bikini. But yeah, so maybe that's why. Like maybe if you like, there's a way to do it. Maybe not a time thing. Maybe there's like a way.
I don't think so. It's not that popular a game. I don't think they put that much effort into it.
I've
never heard of it.
Never heard
exactly.
Of it.
Anyways, find it. It's great. It'll probably cost you like
$3.
It's called Dr. Franken.
Dr. Franken.
Coming
yep.
next.
Why wouldn't they just go Frankenstein?
Probably because it's a copyright.
Copyrights?
No, there's no. It's, that's fucking. That shit's public domain. Unless it was reappropriated by Universal. Maybe.
Possibly.
Coming
anyway,
next year to the 2014 edition of the Fringe Festival,
Dr. Franken.
Keith and Wall to present Dr. Franken.
Dr. Franken, the game, the show.
Dr. Franken, the game,
I was going to do a one-man show where I'm Franken in this scenario, and I talk about how awful my life is because I keep dying and having to start back in levels. I'm very familiar
exactly.
with it.
Yeah, that's going to be super
it's
relatable.
Very upsetting.
And then the best,
yeah,
the best
it's
going
to be great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Fringe. It doesn't matter if it's relatable. You get to do
the
whatever
best
you want.
The finale where you're like, I've done it, and then you like wheel forward a, like a thing in the dark, and then you have a spotlight, and it's just like a shittily put together mannequin. You're like, oh yeah, well, fuck it. Just walk away. Like, I'm done. So is this show.
House lights are already up, and I was just like, get out! What are you... That's
I,
it. Reset.
I would rather you
reset.
Don't all sit here and watch my failure.
You ever see that Robert De Niro Frankenstein movie?
No.
Where Robert De Niro was Frankenstein?
I have not seen that.
I think it's Kenneth Branagh, possibly, who did it.
Moving on to question two.
Favorite
drink?
Tough choice, actually.
Anything.
Like,
alcoholic.
Currently... Yeah,
oh,
currently
no, you
my favorite.
Shit on me when I say that.
Current favorite thing to drink is Ungava gin, straight.
Ungava gin, very good.
Yeah.
It's yellow. It's a yellow. Don't
yeah.
be fooled.
Meat, no rocks.
He just said straight. If it wasn't straight, it would. If it's on the rocks, it's not straight. Yeah, that's not straight. That's on the rocks.
Although I'm also partial to Dr. Pepper and Jameson.
Mm. Oh, that's a, that. I, that seems like a sacrilege to me, though.
Really? No.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no Jameson.
Why? Because I corrupted the Dr. Pepper?
Yeah, I was like, Jameson, there's no fucking...
Okay, see, now you're like, now you're pushing me off the happy bus is what you're doing here. You're like,
I'm sorry, get back on the happy
bus. You're pushing
bus,
me
Jameson
into heel territory here right now. Like, it's just
heel
like,
turn, Walter had a heel
no,
turn.
No, fuck it. I don't care if it's not the most expensive shit out there. I don't think, I don't feel that Jameson should be sullied. I'm sorry.
Whatever, Walter shits on me for my love of CC.
I don't shit. I drink CC all the
yeah,
fucking
but you're
time.
Like, shit.
You were with me like 2 days ago.
He's right.
When I put it is shit, and I put back like 2/3 of a bottle of it the other day. Like, and you were there.
Like in terms of like rye or Canadian whiskeys, whatever fucking category is.
It's drinkable.
I find it like beyond drinkable. I enjoy the taste like a lot.
Question the third.
Best time ever.
Best time ever, just the
greatest time
I've ever
and
had.
Don't think about it too hard because if you
don't think about it at all.
Okay, the first thing that came to mind was a municipal waste show I was at about 4 years
municipal
ago
waste.
At Foof's, where pretty much the whole
I think
floor,
I know people in that band. Who's in that band?
I don't know their names.
I know people in that. I think
Do you?
Yeah, I think so.
That's strange because they're from the 70s in Ghana.
That's strange because I just made them up.
I made up the band, you hipster motherfucker.
I think I know. I really feel like I know people in there.
I was at their show a couple years ago, and like the whole floor turned into a mosh pit, and there were people actually like with surfboards on top of people, like crowd surfing with surfboards. And it was like a nonstop show. Most of their songs are like a minute and a half, but it was like an hour and a half to 2 hours of Municipal Waste play.
And it stops, you're like, and then,
and then it goes again, yeah. And it was just, it's like when I was in a crazy metal phase, and that was the highlight of it. And after that, I didn't go see shows for a while because I was like, it won't be topped. So that's, I guess that's the best time ever for right now.
Best time ever for right now. That's a good answer. Question the fourth, as asked to you by Tyler. So if you're listening to this show and you just listened to Alain's episode from 2 weeks ago, this is not Alain's question. Alain's question will be asked to the next guest.
So annoyed that I'm not getting his question,
but
it's okay.
We can ask you Alain's question as a follow-up. Who is your favorite black person? Tiger Woods doesn't count. What's the question from Tyler?
I was going to say, like, Jesus as a Jesus, how do I answer that? But Jesus.
Jesus?
Jesus is my favorite one.
Gotcha.
I can't possibly pick. That is a ridiculous question. How am I supposed to answer that?
See, it's not our question.
I hardly have any favorite people in the world, regardless of race.
What's the question again?
Who's your favorite black person, Tiger Woods doesn't count?
Yeah, I got a little. I think I had a couple drinks on that podcast. Right? I don't remember that.
You don't remember
at all.
That at all. You were already getting into it, so you can't pick.
And then I hosted an open mic after that.
Nice. So you cannot pick.
I cannot pick. That is not a thing I can answer.
I'm sorry to disappoint.
Oh come on! No, you can. It won't be a
Rihanna. Rihanna.
It won't Jay-Z. Be Rihanna.
Kid Cudi.
None of the people
the entire band Living Color.
How about okay? I'm gonna.
How about
I'm gonna
the entire cast of In Living Color minus Jim Carrey? Because I guess he doesn't fit that category.
I'm gonna alter the question for you now to make it a little more accessible.
Oh, but I'm you playing, shit on I'm, me when I do this so hard.
I know, but we got, one of us is allowed to. That's
one
that's
of
the
us
caveat.
Is allowed to. Guess what? It's Walter.
That's the caveat. You do it all the time. I'm doing it now.
With the band Skindred.
What's your favorite person of any visible minority? What's your favorite visible minority that's a key founding member of the Infringement Festival? I didn't say it. What?
What?
What's your key? What's your favorite visible
Al just
minority?
Got daggers in his eyes. What's your favorite black Disney princess? There's only one. There's only one.
The Little Mermaid. What? Am I wrong?
I'm colorblind. I can't tell. I don't see race. The Little Mermaid was black to me. It's not picking a fuck.
Let's go Hannibal Buress.
Hannibal Buress.
Oh, that's good. That's
good. Yeah,
he gets me. He's a relaxed man.
Gets it. The other question, Alain's question, so this is question 4B, was why have you cried recently?
Oh, man.
That's a really good question.
Yeah, just a...
That's a great question. That's a very good question. I think the last time I cried relates to the heartbreak question you asked earlier.
Shitty.
So, why have I cried recently? General
broken
sadness.
Broken heart. Got it.
Wow. For someone who doesn't want to talk about that, you're talking about it a whole bunch.
Oh, you fucking brought it up.
No, we didn't. LA did. Fucking blame him.
See, that's why I originally referred to him as my mortal enemy. How did he know? He didn't even know. He couldn't even have planned it, but he still reaches
me. It wasn't even your question.
It's impossible.
This
it wasn't
question went
for me.
Back
wasn't
to
even planned for me. Unbelievable.
Question the fifth is now your chance to turn the table.
Why does every fucking thing smell like McDonald's now, by the way?
I rubbed McDonald's on
everything. Everything
surface.
Smells like McDonald's right now. It smells like McNuggets. The whole fucking place
It absolutely
like
doesn't. Do you smell
Are
it?
Are you smelling that?
I am not smelling McDonald's.
Why the fuck am I?
Did you have a McNugget rubbed into your mustache? Because sometimes, you know, that'll just stay with you.
When you were falling asleep, I put Big Mac sauce in your beard.
I didn't fall asleep.
You did. Like, you fell asleep for like 5 minutes during the podcast, and I put Big Mac sauce in your beard.
P.S. You're drinking a double Big Mac sauce.
No.
like one of those like where the camera zooms in and pans out at the same time.
It's like a troll.
Yeah, exactly.
The
shitty camera motion.
All right, let's wrap this up. Walter's go.
Fuck you, Walter, you fucking hipster piece of shit. Go into your fucking show that nobody's ever heard of in your life.
It's super
Who's friends of Jim Jarmusch?
Jim Jarmusch. He's totally buddies.
So flip the tables without knowing who the guest is. Ask him a question. Hey, there's a good, I would say a solid chance it might be, no, I can't. It was like a Fringe Specials, we don't do this. So I was going to say it could be a Fringe Reformer, but we don't do this bit in the Fringe Specials. So it's not going to be a Fringe Reformer. Sorry.
Who are the top three people who are dead whom you would have killed earlier in their lives if you had the
three
chance?
Three people you would have Walter, give me one.
What's the question again?
Your top three people who are currently dead whom you would have killed earlier in their lives if you could have.
Like, there's easy choices, like Hitler.
Hannibal Buress.
Exactly, Hitler. I would go L. Ron Hubbard. I could fucking stop Scientology.
You could stop Scientology.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
completely
bold.
Completely stop Scientology because I killed L. Ron Hubbard earlier than he died.
I want to say Joan Rivers, but she's...
A, not dead.
Debatable.
Right? Okay, fine. Melissa Rivers. No, that's not even cool.
Definitely alive.
She's like 50, though. I want to say Al Jolson. Melissa Rivers. And Bobby Flay.
Bobby Flay's also not dead.
Shit.
Can I have a
rebuttal? Is that where you're going?
A rebuttal? I was going to be like, you could also be like, who is dead that you would like put on life support to make live longer? Is another good question.
Or who would you bring back
as
a child?
Remember the frugal chef? Remember him?
What are you fucking talking
about?
Nope. I'm going to go ahead and say Jim Henson.
The PBS guy.
He's one of the ones that I would fucking make...
earlier?
Make
oh, no.
Born again.
Oh, thank God.
Like,
I was just like, but
like
why?
Jim Henson could be born again.
You know why Jim Henson died? Because he was, like, sort of religious. That's why.
It was like a no...
He was, like, a Quaker or something. Or, like, I'm, like, wrong. I don't know if he was a Quaker, but he was, like, one of those things where it's, all like, right. Don't do transfusions.
So we're going to wrap it up.
We're
going to
wrap
it
up,
Walter. Al's been here representing the, I believe, we agreed on the 517th? French Festival in Montreal?
And I got to go to Hipster
Fest. Saint-Ambroise Montreal French Festival.
Saint-Ambroise
The 23rd is not the 517th.
We've actually been drinking Saint-Ambroise this whole time, each and every one of us.
Indeed.
We drank 8 pints of Saint-Ambroise apricot.
Strange.
Apricot
do they serve
is my
it
fail. I like the apricot.
They do. The apricot's great. My favorite is their pumpkin. And did you try their maple,
tried the maple
this
no.
summer? It was insane. As far as maple beers go, that was like
I always hate. Great. I hate pumpkin beer. I love it. But I hate it. Like, why is this seasonal? I've seen pumpkins all year round. Fucking.
There's this Depp near Mainline that has, like, that buys too much pumpkin beer in October every year. And it's great because then I have it until May. The latest batch of pumpkin beer expires May 31st.
Still okay?
And so, yeah.
You know,
so I get there in May.
There's a Depp that does the same thing.
Wonderful. Yeah, I get there and I'm like, how much time? How much do you have left? I'll buy it all. It's great.
And they give you like a cut rate on it?
Because I've looked at it every time. Like, it's a place in St. Henry. And I've looked at it. They have a little 4-pack of pumpkin ale. And I'm like, that can't still be good. But if you're telling me it's still good, I'm going to buy it tonight.
It is still good and it is worth it.
And I'm going to like fucking be like, yeah, pumpkin ale in fucking May. And I make the hang loose sign while I do it because I'm Hawaiian.
So this is fun. Fringe Fest. Go to it.
Go to it. If you're... Like, seriously, if you listen to Go Plug Yourself and you're not going to Fringe Festival, you're not even listening to Go Plug Yourself.
You're not
right.
even listening.
You're listening to it badly. Your only excuse for not going to Fringe Festival and listening to Go Plug Yourself is that you don't live in the city. At which point, go to the Fringe Festival of your city.
And also shut up.
And also shut up and just deal with it.
Yeah, get on the happy bus. Get on the happy bus and shut up.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Deal
with
the kids.
Hey, listen. Here. Chances are you are no more than 2 or 3 fucking steps removed from someone with a Fringe show. I think. Probably. So go see that one at the very least. The one that you know someone through someone who's in.
Even if you know nothing about it, go see a Fringe show. It's fun to just take a rest.
If it's the first time you've ever heard about the Fringe Festival, first of all, shut up.
Stop listening. Don't listen to
just
our
go.
Show.
Third of all, deal with
deal
the kids.
Deal with the kids.
And shut up.
Fucking
and
deal with the kids.
I mean, quit your J-Dub.
Quit your J-Dub and deal with it.
And then
go
to the Fringe
Festival. Go fucking tits up on Fringe. Buy the fucking full pass. And then just devote.
If you have zero money and
volunteer.
You don't want to buy the full pass, if you have the full pass, please buy the pass. Like if you can afford it. If you can't, volunteer or just there's a lot of free events in the like at the outdoor site or. Like, we have After Dark events. There's an event called No Sleep Till Waffles.
No.
Which is happening
sleep
at 2 a.m.
Till Waffles. That's fucking a song parody.
Was that a song parody?
That
there?
Is exactly why we named
I
it
I hope
that.
So.
If Al, this has been, thank you for joining
Walter's
us
Walter's just fucking rushing off
on
stage right now.
All the song parodies on Song Parodies 9 to 5, Song Parodies Edition.
Yeah, that'll be coming out as a record on Bloody Underrated.
It's regrettable that you didn't show up with your own song parodies.
You want to try one?
Didn't I?
But if you ever want to do that, you know, the door is always open. Except on Fridays when it's closed.
Today's Friday.
It feels like the door is open. It's closing right now.
Because Walter's taking off his headset and is trying to rush you off the stage.
Yep.
The stage? You know I want to do this on the stage. And it's never happened. And I'm just rubbing it in my face.
We're going to do it. We're going to work this out.
God damn it.
Would you go, Al? Would you attend if we did this on
stage? A live Go Plug Yourself extravaganza with other cool shit and live guests and, like, performances and stuff. And it's like a party.
Here's what we're thinking. We're thinking a couple of...
That just sounds fun,
right? A couple
right?
of comics do a set, and then we have those comics
yep.
on the show. And
comics
then
doing sets, and, like, and probably also fucking Bikaze.
Well, I wasn't going to speak for them, but I was hoping.
Yeah, no, they're in.
Is there a barbecue involved?
Yeah,
whatever,
sure,
we'll throw
not?
A barbecue. Even though it's going to be indoors, the barbecue will be indoors. It'll get really smoky. We're going to be like,
I'm gonna make, it's
like
gonna,
you guys didn't think about this. We're like, clearly we did not.
It's also going to be it's also gonna be in all the chicken
yes.
shows, too. All right.
Oh, great. I'll finally be able to attend one.
Thank you for coming out, Al. That was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me.
Go plug yourself.
Shut up.
That's great. Yes, we're done. Those sweet, sweet piano tunes you're listening to right now come courtesy of Leland Beckman and Oral Turpitude. Oh man, that was some great podcasting, wasn't it? Anyhow, be sure as always to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, add us on iTunes, buy our stuff, and basically try as hard as you can to make us happy in every single way possible. Of course, be sure to check back every day on 9to5.cc for comics on Wednesdays, podcasts on Thursdays, Scott or Sophie's art on Fridays, and seriously, we'll try as hard as we can to get Zombies and Loathing, Fuck Mondays, and Templars back as soon as we can. Thanks for listening, everyone.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you?